Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servodidio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Tonight, I have such an interesting show. On the line, I have Bianca Giamatti. Bianca is a mom, an actress, award-winning filmmaker as well as a Brooklyn business owner and creator of the independent original series Real Mommy Confessions. Business owners Bianca and her husband, who proudly serves as FDNY, own and operate the delectable specialty mac and cheese restaurant, Brooklyn Mac, as well as the award-winning coffee shop, Cup, which was given the title of Best Espresso in Greenpoint. Her most exciting credential, for which she is most proud, however, is her job as mom, which brings on a daily host of challenges and accomplishments, often simultaneously. These include successfully keeping her three-year-old from nosediving off the sofa, as well as negotiating with her willful four-year-old. Bianca, welcome to Insight into Healing. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So incredible. You have just such an incredible background. And I wanted to start first. Can you tell our listeners about Real Mommy Confessions and how it got started and what it's all about?
Yeah, I'd love to. Real Mommy Confessions came from really my insecurities as a mom and my entire community of mothers being online and across the country. I'm originally from California, and I live in New York now, and so I spent a lot of time on Facebook when I was first had my daughter, and catching up with my friends who have babies out in California and joining mom forums. And I was watching these women on Facebook just nailing it when it came to motherhood. Their kids always looked clean. Their house was always beautiful. Somehow they had lost all the baby weight and they looked amazing and they were cooking these meals. And I was looking at myself thinking, oh my gosh, I am failing. I am failing in every way, shape, or form. I haven't showered in 3 days. I think I may have just eaten poop when I was changing diapers and cleaning up snacks for my kid. And it was just a mess. And I tried to fake book. I tried to put on the same show as I felt, just to match everybody else's life. And so I'd take all these beautiful pictures, and my daughter was always smiling. And, there was this one time I dressed her up like a flower for Easter. And the picture I got was absolutely beautiful. And then the next second she fell face first into the dirt. It was just ridiculous. And I finally was just like, I can't do this anymore. I can't fake it. I'm just going to post what happened today. And I posted about someone having a temper tantrum and something awful happening. And my real mommy confession was that I was failing. And I got tons of comments and emails from other moms saying, thank you so much for posting this. I had the exact same thing happen to me. Oh, thank you so much. I thought I was alone. It's so nice to know someone else is in the same boat. And I was like, okay, well, and so I did it again. And it started becoming a thing. And I realized, okay, this is something that moms need. We need to see that other moms don't have it all together and that we're not the only ones who are dirty and have worn the same yoga pants for the last 3 days. That, we're all in this together. And I was an actress before I became a mother, and I really wanted to, start being an artist again. I was missing that part of myself and my life. So I pitched the idea of this web series to one of my best friends from acting school and one of my producing partners, Charlie Webb, and she loved it. And part of my goal was to involve other moms of, all different ages and races and body types. And so I started compiling a group of women that I knew were smart and talented and had a bunch of different skills when it came to filmmaking. And through that, I brought on Jennifer Enscott, who her children are in their 30s. And so she, filled the whole older mom quota, as well as she's a brilliant actress and a brilliant editor. And through her met our director of photography, Andy Gardner, who I was just so thrilled was going to join us. because he's an Emmy-winning director of photography. He's incredibly talented, and that kind of rounded out our team, and so we got to work.
Yes, and I so commend you for what you've taken on by doing this, because I think it really sheds light on the truth and the reality of so many mothers and fathers are going through and sometimes feel guilty or shame to admit it, but it's the truth, it's the reality, and there's nothing to feel like you're doing something wrong or that you're failing. That it's a universal feeling that people have, and I think it's so validating to know when other people you can relate to, and people say, oh my God, that's my story, I can relate to that.
Absolutely. And I was a little afraid that at first I just wrote down all of my confessions, and you know, I started, and I felt like, oh, okay, great, people can relate to these. And then I thought, well, if this is supposed to be about real moms, I need confessions from other real moms. And so I started polling my friends and polling people on Facebook and got wonderful, hilarious confessions from people. And it really started becoming a community and being somewhere where people could be like, oh, gosh, this happened to me, and I think this would be a really great episode. And so, yeah, people have been really interested in finding that community, and it's been really wonderful for me. I've made so many cool mom friends because of it, and it's been a really fun experience.
Where do you think this idealization that people have of what a family is supposed to look like, what parenting and child rearing is supposed to look like, and then almost feeling guilty if it doesn't have this ideal, you know, television editorial look to it?
You know, I would love to say that it's the media. I would love to say that it's TV. I would love to say that it's what we're taught and fairy tales, which I do think all plays into it, obviously. What we see on television, what we see in fairy tales, what we thought our parents' marriage, what we thought our parents were like as parents, all of that, I think, plays into it. But for me, at least, it was really that I made it all up in my head. I just loved this little person, and then I ended up having to these little people so much that I wanted to create, you know, beautiful crafts for them and wonderful homemade cakes, and I wanted to be all these things that I thought would be a great mom for them and make their life happy and better, and I put a whole bunch of pressure on myself. It was just insane, and I've talked to a lot of other moms about that they didn't feel the pressure from the outside necessarily. It was really within them, you know, trying to be everything that they could be for their little people.
Yes. And when did it really hit you, or has it hit you, that you're doing a great job? Are you okay with it now? I mean, do you still feel pressured about things, or do you feel like, okay, I'm doing the best that I can?
I definitely think I'm doing the best that I can, and I still put pressure on myself. I still think I'm failing in certain ways, but in other ways, I think I'm, you know, it's funny. I had our parent-teacher conferences for my children, and from both the teachers, I was told how kind my kids were, they were, and that they were very bright, and they are not very kind to me at home sometimes, and they definitely leave their manners at the door sometimes, but you know, I think that I'm doing a good job in the sense that they're happy people, and I think that shows through. I think the reason that they're kind is because they're happy, and the reason that they're polite is because they treat other people well, and I mean, what else can I really ask for? I have healthy, happy little people who want to go out into the world and learn and be happy and treat other people with respect. So, I mean, in that way, I think I got an A. My daughter also used the F word the other day. She's 4. She told me she didn't want to wear those bleeping clothes. So, you know, I failed in that respect because she definitely learned it from me. So, you know, there's definitely not perfect, but I am doing the best that I can.
Yes, and I think it's also giving yourself sometimes a break. And not sometimes, you know, because I think sometimes people can be so hard on themselves that, you know, we are all human. We do make mistakes. And what an incredible lesson also to teach your children that it's okay not to be perfect. You can make mistakes and say you're sorry and move forward.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. I try to own up to any of the times that where my children see me completely go against anything that I've said. Or, you know, my husband and I are both we're both hard-headed, and we're both kind of yellers. So we'll bicker about something ridiculous. And then, you know, my daughter will say, "Mama, you yelled at Papa." And, you know, I got to take responsibility for it. And say, "You're mm-hmm. right. And that was not kind. And I need to choose my words better," the same way that I would ask her to do. So, yeah, I think as long as I'm owning up to it, at least I'm not, at least I'm setting a somewhat good example, right?
Yes. No, I agree. I think you are. And I think that's the best that I think anyone can do, is setting the example and you know, being able to admit when they're wrong and being able to give yourself also credit for the great things you do too. And that's a priceless lesson to teach your children.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think those lessons, I think they're kind of thrown in my face sometimes. I don't always give myself credit when I'm doing well, or, you know, sometimes my mom's my best friend, and I worry that, you know, I won't be that to my daughter, and I hope that she'll see me as a close friend like I always saw my mom, and I worry sometimes that I'm too strict or not strict enough, and she's bulldozing me, and, you know, I have those moments. But then the other day we were talking about superheroes, and I asked her, you know, "Who's your superhero? Who's your favorite superhero?" And she said, "You, Mama." And it was just one of those moments where I was like, "Oh, that's exactly how I saw my mom. Okay, maybe I'm not totally failing her." So,
yeah,
and, you know, just moments like that make it, I don't know, they validate all the other stuff.
Yeah. So how long are the episodes? How long are the different confessions?
Well, the confessions come in to us at all different lengths. You know, sometimes it's just stuff people will say, "Oh, my God, this thing happened," and then tell us the story, or they'll send an email or send us a Facebook message. Our premiere episode was actually written by Meredith Masoni, and it was based on her blog post. She has a blog, That's Inappropriate, and she's just so funny and so talented. So it was a longer blog post that then I was able to take pieces from and turn into a script. But what we do when we're filming it is we keep them at a maximum of 2 minutes, because my whole idea behind it was that, you know, we don't have that much time as moms. We can't sit and watch a 10-minute video to get to the punchline, because within 10 minutes, our children are swimming in the toilet and, you know, throwing wet toilet paper at the cat, which actually happened to me the other day. So, you know, you turn your back on your kids for too long, you're done. So I wanted it to be quick and funny and to the point and relatable. And so every episode is between 1 to 2 minutes.
Wow. And is there a new one every week, every day? How does it work?
We release them every Thursday at 4 p.m. They go live on YouTube, and then we share them everywhere. We were really excited because this week our premiere was picked up on Scary Mommy and Pop Sugar and Huffington Post. So we've gotten some really wonderful coverage. So it's been able to reach a lot more people than we were seeing in season one. So, yeah, it's been really fun. So we have a new one every Thursday at 4.
Wow. What is your – do you feel that if it really picks up, would you make it longer? Would you make – what would be your goals, do you think, or would you keep it just like this?
You know, I think for this specific project, I think the 2 minute kind of small, we're calling them, you know, they're episodes, but when we talk about it as a production team, they're a little short film to us. I think 2 minutes is what it needs. It's the format and formula works for these kind of confessions. I definitely think that there's enough mom material to make entire shows out of. I mean, there are some, actually. There's a really great show called Playing House, starring Lennon Parham and Jessica St. Clair. So it's a really funny show about moms and best friends. And so I definitely think that mom material is wonderful and doable. But for our specific series, I think the two-minute long ones are kind of just what we need.
Yeah. And I think that's great because, you know, I think if it nails it and hits the point within 2 minutes, that's really getting the message across. And, of course, you know, for the viewer audience, too, 2 minutes is what they have. And I think it's really meeting the client, meeting the audience where they're at.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, like I said, you turn your back on your kids, you're done. Or, you know, since they come out at 4, you can watch them when you're after you've dropped off your kid to soccer practice. You can log on, watch it in your car, and then go home. It's not going to be something where you have to sit and commit for a half hour. Just because so many of us moms just don't have that at our disposal. If we had an extra half hour, I don't know, I'd take a nap. So,
so if someone wanted to check it out, do they just put in Real Mommy Confessions? How would someone find it?
We are all over. We have a website, realmommyconfessions.com. We are very active on Facebook. And if anyone wants to submit a confession, that's a really great way to get in touch with us. So on Facebook, it's Real Mommy Confessions, the series. We're on Twitter, which is at Real Moms Confess. We're on Instagram, Real Mommy Confessions. And we have a Gmail, realmommyconfessions@gmail.com. So we're kind of everywhere, and we're accessible, and we check everything, and we love to hear from people. So if anyone has a confession they want to send in, we'd love to hear it.
Yes. I think it's great that it's so accessible, and really it's, you know, engaging and also interacting with your viewers. They're able to be a part of it too, which is so, so important too, and just adds a different kick to it that people are able to actually interact too and put their input in and their stories in.
It's honestly, that's been my favorite part. Like I said, I have made some wonderful friends because of this. I now blog for Momco app, which is a really, really cool app for moms to find other moms in their community and to be able to connect with them. It's kind of a dating app for moms. I was tweeting at Jillian Darlington, who created this app, and she liked my tweets about the series, and through that we have become friends, and I blog for her site, and she's just wonderful, and her whole crew, Beth Bryan, is wonderful. Like, they, I truly consider them friends now. We haven't actually met in person, but we work together a lot and we exchange emails and stuff. So there was that. I've met just wonderful moms like Meredith Masoni, we found each other because we were both part of a group called Mom Mitment, which is another group for moms to support each other and to kind of speak out against mom judgment. And through that, I said, hey, we're looking for confessions. If anyone's interested, please email me. And she did. And we ended up using her blog. And now she and I chat all the time. And so it's been really fun to get to know women in that way, because some of them, you know, they don't want their names said. So I'm the only person who knows their secret. So it's really been an interesting way to meet people and get to know other moms. And I feel really lucky. I feel really, really lucky that people have wanted to be involved. It's really created a wonderful community for me.
And it's so time appropriate, too, because in this day and age, people and connecting on the internet, on social media, through blogs, through chat, is really, you know, with people such busy schedules and all over the world and all different states, I mean, I think it's so incredible to be able to have that connection. And also really, you know, from guests that have been on my show and people I've interviewed, you know, after the hour of interviewing them, it's really a sharing. It's really building up a relationship and finding out all these wonderful things about the person and their inner being and inner workings, that you do have this bond with them. You do have this, even if you've not met them, it's still such a connection and such a friendship in some way that it's really incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you add to that the fact that we're going through this experience of motherhood together and the understanding that comes with that, in some way to me feels like it's bringing back the idea of the village, that you're not in this alone, that there's other women who support you and see what you're doing and understand. Because it's really easy to feel isolated and lonely when you're a mom. I cannot believe how incredibly lonely I felt when I always had a little person with me. But, you know, you can't go out with your friends the same way that you did before until you have a little separation from your baby. Your daily life changes, the way you think changes, your body changes, and all of a sudden you're this new person. And it's really comforting and wonderful to have that connection to other women who are going through the exact same thing or who have been there before.
Yes, yes. It's very validating. And I think how incredible and priceless it is that you're just able to contact someone on the computer, on a blog. I mean, that's so powerful at that moment, you know, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling, and it's not about someone fixing the problem, just someone saying, yes, I totally understand that. You know, keep your head up, keep on moving. This is what happened. Just that support is so powerful.
Exactly. And even if it's just through a funny meme, like there are some moms that, you know, just post something that is a ridiculous meme they just made, and you're like, yes, that's me right now. If I hear the Paw Patrol song one more time, I'm going to throw something out the window. And it's just that moment of, okay, this insanity is not just in my head. Other people get it. So it's really awesome.
Yes. And you've been really busy. You also now, you have the Real Mommy Confessions, but you also have the film Flush the John. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, Flush the John is a short film that I shot in September. We shot half of it here near where I am in Long Island, and then half of it in Ohio. I'm very much a pack animal. Once I find my people, I want to work with them all the time and, you know, be around them all the time. And so I asked Jen and Scott and Andy Gardner to work on this project with me as co-producers and VP and editor. And so we shot last September, and the film is about, well, there was this whole operation called Operation Flush the John, which was a prostitution sting that was organized by the DA on Long Island. This is all true. This is fact. You can look it up online. Because of that, 104 men were arrested for soliciting a prostitute. And I mean, they were from all walks of life. It was lawyers, firefighters, you know, college students. It was a lot of people. 104 is a lot of guys. And what the DA then did with that information was she created, in a sense, a wall of shame. And she posted all of the mugshots in the courtroom and released all the mugshots and the list names publicly. It was everywhere. So anyone who had, you know, a lot of women found out that way that their husbands had cheated on them and, you know, or their sons had been arrested. You know, it was just a pretty shocking thing to do. So what this script is about, it's about a couple. It all takes place overnight on either side of the couple's front door. And so the wife finds out that her husband has been, well, she knew he had been arrested, but she finds out now through the news that all the information has been released publicly. So she starts getting phone calls from family and friends and just has to shut it all out. And shortly after, her husband tries to come home. And so they've already been separated and they've already been dealing with the infidelity and the arrest, but now they're dealing with the fact that the curtain's been pulled and everybody knows the intimacies of their relationship and their struggle. And so it's interesting. My husband read the script and he said, even with everything else that's going on, this is a love story. And I really loved that because I truly believe that's what it is. It's about this couple that loves each other and they want to be together, but, you know, there was the infidelity. He's an alcoholic in recovery and that's what led him to the prostitute that night. And so there's a lot going on. There's a lot of layers for this couple, but love is really the thing that they're both, in a sense, fighting for.
Yes, and I think it really shows the reality of a lot of relationships. Because I think sometimes when there is an infidelity or there, you know, there's other things going on, you don't stop loving that person immediately. I mean, I think even, you know, they've cheated on you or there's been things like that, and your love for them doesn't stop. So it's such a conflicting feelings to have. And I know a lot of times, you know, people, the clients that I've worked with, other people will say, you're a fool, you shouldn't still have be feelings for him. Or even the own person will say, what's wrong with me? I still love them and I still miss them. That's human. That's reality. The heart and the mind are two different things. They, you know, they have to catch up with each other. But you don't stop loving someone like that overnight. And I think it really shows the struggle. And I think, you know, until, unfortunately, if you go through it or anything like that, you really can't say what you're going to do, because I think when it does really happen, you can't prepare for things like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no way to prepare for it. You truly don't know what your heart is going to do or your head is going to do. And like you said, you don't just stop loving someone. And I mean, in the case of this couple in the story, they have children, they've built a life together, they have a home, they have a community. And there's all these things that make up your life with this other person. You know, sometimes it makes sense just to cut ties and leave. Sometimes it doesn't. And that's a really hard struggle. And that's what the main character, Kelly, is dealing with. She's in a place where she truly loves this man. She's heartbroken, and everybody knows, and the humiliation and her children, and how is she going to deal with explaining it to her kids when their friends say, oh, your dad did this, because it's on the news, it's everywhere, it's in the papers, it's in the courthouse, everybody knows. And I mean, how do you rationalize that and still deal with the fact that you love this person on the other side of the door? And, you know, on the flip side, Owen, he hit bottom. You know, that was his bottom. He lost everything that night. He got arrested. He could affect his job. He hurt his wife. He hurt his children. I'm a true believer that if you cheat on your partner, you are cheating on the family unit. I don't see how you can separate the two. And
yeah.
So, you know, he has destroyed his own life. He did exactly what his addiction wanted him to do, which was get rid of everybody in the way so that he could just go wallow and drink. But he's not. He's fighting. He's in recovery. He wants to be that man who is going to show up for them. So, you know, while they're both fighting for the same thing, they're fighting for love and they're fighting for their kids, it just might not be, their goals might not align. So it's an interesting struggle. It's, you know, relationships are an interesting struggle, even when they're going well. You know, I love my husband more than anything in the world, but there are definitely times there's just that constant struggle. And then when you add in the whole idea that now, you know, every time Kelly walks into a grocery store, she's going to get looks because people know. So it's an interesting story.
It also brings up an important, interesting point, too, is why do people on the outside feel like their opinion matters? You know, I think that I always find, you know, so many times we have to deal with what they're saying and how am I going to justify. I think so many times people, if it doesn't impact you directly, you don't need to give your opinion or your advice unless somebody asks for it. You know, it's very damaging. They know what's going on. They know everything. They don't need someone to keep rubbing it in their face and pressuring. I think the best thing is, if, you know, either step back or just have some support and let those people figure out what's good for them and what works for them.
Yeah, I mean, if we were all emotionally mature and had handled all of our own stuff, I think that people would react that way. But what I've seen in my own life that's been really interesting is that when I'm going through something, it's been interesting to see how my struggles trigger other people's stuff, you know, triggers their insecurity, their insecurities in their relationship. Their, you know, it's people, I think, internalize everything and think, oh, what would I do? How would I feel? And it triggers their issues. And so it's kind of hard. I think it's hard for people to stay objective and as much as they want to, as much as, and also, you know, I think sometimes that people truly love someone, they just want to go in and save them. I went through something kind of crazy and I was having a hard time, and one of my best girlfriends, she had so many opinions and such strong opinions about what I should do. And finally, once I told her, I said, I know all of this is because you love me. but you have to back off. And that's really what it was, is that she loved me and she didn't want me to hurt, but she couldn't fix it, and she was actually making it worse. So I don't know if anyone ever, like, if it's always that people think it's their business. I think there's so many different reasons why people get so opinionated, but it is kind of amazing how incredibly opinionated people get when somebody is struggling.
Yes, yes, and I think it's what you said, son, they want to fix it, they want to save it. And I think it's not anyone's job to fix or save. I think it's just about processing and letting that, you know, being a support and being there for someone and, you know, letting them feel like they're supported. And it's so empowering. Sometimes people don't want advice. They just want you to have, you know, have something to vent or have be able to say what's going on, and to hear themselves saying it is so powerful.
Yeah. Sometimes being quiet and giving a hug is the most powerful thing you can do for someone.
Yes, yes. So is this film, can people see Flush the John? Where is it right now?
Not yet. We are still in post-production. We are getting music for it as we speak, and we do have a final edit or final rough edit, and then we'll finalize things as we get the music, and then I would like to, you know, submit to all the heavy hitter festivals like Sundance and South by Southwest and all those really wonderful places. And, you know, I'm going to hope and pray that we get in. And then after that, I'm going to submit to other really wonderful festivals like LIFE out here on Long Island and the Williamsburg Independent Film Festival and, you know, a few in L.A. and San Francisco, where I'm from, and just try to get it out there and seen. And I love film festivals. I had a film at a festival, at a bunch of festivals a couple of years ago, and it's just such a wonderful place to meet other filmmakers and people who are really passionate about what they're doing. And actually, the host of one of the film festivals that my film was in is in my film this year. I met her and I said, I love you and I want to work with you. So Maria Aparo, she's wonderful. So yeah, I'm really excited for people to see it, and yeah, it'll be out in the film festival circuit, hopefully.
Wow. How was it shooting the film? Was it with the different characters? How were the actors? How was it shooting such, you know, sometimes tough topics, deep layers?
Well, I play Kelly, so and I wrote the film, so, and I was directing. I wore a lot of hats in this one, but like
wow.
I said, I had my people. Jenna and Scott was my second set of eyes. When I was in front of the camera, she was, you know, helping me direct. And so I was really lucky to have my partners in crime. So I'm hoping I feel like I did the part justice. And I also had a really, really wonderful, John Osbeck. He is incredibly talented. He's based out of Columbus, Ohio, and Jennifer is based out of there as well. And she said, I know the guy for Owen. And she, you know, filmed his audition and sent it to me. And I said, that's him. He's wonderful. And so I was really excited that he was on board. He's a brilliant actor. We have Mary Beth Griffiths, who plays the prostitute / undercover cop. As I said, Maria Aparo, who is our reporter. And then Jennifer Ann Scott actually played the DA. So I knew I had a really solid cast. Like, I knew that I could count on them to deliver. And then, yeah, you know, when you have good actors and you have a great crew and everyone's just so at the top of their game, you go to work and you play. You go and, you know, you have to do all of your prep and all of the crazy pre-production. But once that's all been done, like, you get there and you work and it's fun. You start seeing all the really great things people are bringing to their character. John has such depth. He's just such a great actor that he just got it. And Mary Beth is just so, like, there were little details in her performances that she's so aware and in the moment that, you know, there's little things just like how she looks a certain way, and it's exactly what she should be looking at to get the point across that I wanted. And so I just felt really lucky. I had such a solid team. That, you know, it was a heavy topic, but everybody got it. And that's, I mean, what more can you ask for?
Yeah. Was there any surprises or different character or something that came out that you didn't see before, but through the filming and you said, wow, that's something different I didn't think of?
Not as far as characters. The script was solid. Solid in the sense that it was not changing. As a writer, I'm always like, oh, I should have said this, oh, I should have done this. You know, I feel like as an artist, I'm always looking back and there's a shoulda, woulda, coulda, but it was locked. So nothing, no new characters came of it, but each actor definitely brought something to their character. Like I said, there's this one part that we shot outside of the Rehab Tavern in Columbus, Ohio, and it started to rain, and everything just looked so beautiful and somewhat tragic, and we were all out there in the rain, and you see Mary Beth walk up in her tiny little prostitute doom that she's wearing, and just the way that she approaches Owen, the character, and their interaction together, there were just some really amazing moments, and so, you know, things like that came about, but nothing, no new characters or anything like that.
Did you interview anyone from really the real story to get characters, or was this just based on what you saw on the news?
That is a great question. I did know people who were affected by it, and actually I personally was affected by it. Some of this was based on my true story. The characters are absolutely fictional. The way that the story unfolds is fictional, but you know, it's one of those things my friends all ask me, what are you going to do when people ask who it's about? As I told them, it's already been on the news. Like, everybody already knows my stuff. So this is something that I personally had to deal with in my marriage. And it's interesting because the characters in the film, when it's left, you don't know if they end up together. I can proudly say that I am still with my husband, and he's wonderful and been in recovery for years now, and is the world's best husband, and we've never been happier. But, you know, it was, I think this was part of my process in dealing with all of it. I've always, I'm an actor, I'm a writer, that's, you know, I feel like that's how I process my stuff. So yeah, I definitely had personal connections to it. I did speak to other people who had been affected by it. I read everything on it. I spoke to a lawyer that had been involved in it. So I had a good handle, I think, on all the different aspects of it. The only person I haven't spoken to who I would love to talk to is the DA. Be interesting to see where her head was at through this whole thing, because there are a lot of different theories about why she did what she did, and whether it was the right thing to do or not. So it's been an interesting process.
And I think it really sheds light on everybody impacted. I think that's what's so important. You know, sometimes you see one thing and you just see the lead characters, as you would say, in the news. But it's really, you know, looking at how it impacts the family, the friends, the people around. I think it really, for people to take into consideration that this is really, there's so many other casualties, as you would say, going through it. It's really just, it's a bigger story, a bigger process, so many different layers.
That's why a story that needed to be told. You know, not everybody, my husband's 100% supportive of it, but not everyone in our lives were thrilled to hear that I was making this film. They didn't understand why I would do such a thing. Like, how could I do such a thing? How could I open a wound? How could I throw salt in the wound? It really bothered me that everyone was, anything you read and any news report on it and any, there was just so much focus on, oh, the Johns, how horrible they are, or, oh, those poor Johns, they got stuck and lured in by this prostitution sting, or, oh, that horrible DA, how could she do this, or, oh, she's going to be great, we should reelect her, and then, oh, those poor women in the sex trafficking. Yes, all of those opinions and ideas are perfectly valid, but you heard very little about the wives, the mothers, the children of these Johns. the people who had to wake up the next morning knowing that their neighbors knew what happened, knowing that they were going to have to explain to their children what happened. Usually when there's an affair, you don't have to go and tell your kid because nobody knows. But these poor families had to explain it to their children. I was very lucky. My children were tiny. But trust me, that's not a conversation I wanted to have with my brother. He was not, it's a hard thing to come back from when everybody knows your business. And so I said, there's a lot of collateral damage that happens mm-hmm. when people cheat or, when they go to a prostitute. There's more involved. And I wanted to tell that story. I wanted to acknowledge those people. Maybe because I felt completely bulldozed by it, because I didn't ask for any of this. It just happened to me. But I try to be lemonade out of lemons kind of girl. I try to make the best out of things. And like I said, if I look at it now, it's probably one of the best things that happened to my marriage because it made it healthy and made it open and we communicate and my husband's healthy and I'm healthy and we're very lucky our children were so young. But I keep thinking about those, 15-year-old boys who went to school the next day and their dads were splashed all over the news for having gone with a prostitute. So yeah. I wanted to make sure that those people's stories were told.
Yeah. I think it's also, it's putting a face, it's putting a story, it's really putting that, personal touch so people really understand each person is so different. There isn't any stereotypical way of how it goes down and how it's supposed to be. And I think really looking at each case and really before jumping to conclusions, to really look at the whole picture of what's going on and really, being able to see the different layers. What would you say to a woman or to a man who's going through such a public struggle or a public conflict? What really helped you kind of go day by day and deal with this?
Being honest and also calling people on it. I remember the first time I walked into our coffee shop after all of this went down and I could just see people kind of hesitating and because, they cared for me because I'd known them for years and, I just said, okay, it happened and just broke the ice because it was public and they did know. So just being honest about it and not minimizing, but also not exaggerating. I think that happens a lot where it's like, oh, yeah, this is where we're at and blah, 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 and all these details. It's like, all right, they already have enough details. People just want to know if you're okay. And I think being honest and also while I found it incredibly humiliating at first, it wasn't about me. Like, I didn't screw up, so I tried not to take that on. I don't know. It's so complicated. Shortly after everything went down in my life, a friend of mine found out that her husband was having an affair, and and my reaction to her was, I'm not happy this is happening to you. I'm not happy it happened to me. I am happy that I'm able to understand where you're at. Because there's something, again, back to all the other projects, that there's something comforting in knowing that you're not alone and that you're not the only person who's felt this way. So, I don't know. Being honest, I think, is my advice for everything. As long as you're honest, there's really nothing more people can ask of you. Being honest about where you're at, being honest about what you think. Yeah. I try to be.
It's really amazing how you've, been able to take your pain, your story, and use it to give it back to the community and give someone else a voice, give somebody else a strength, which I think is so powerful and so commendable that to help other people. And I think that's what's so important, that yes, these horrible things happen. We don't know why they happened, But I think moving forward and being able to process it and then sharing your story so someone else can get the support, can help in the healing process is so important.
I hope it can be that for somebody. I hope that my hopes for the film is that it's interesting as a story standalone. I think it's interesting. I think it's beautifully shot. Like I said, I think the people I got to work with are wonderful. So I hope that as a film it stands alone. But if it can be a source of comfort to somebody, then it's done everything I could have ever dreamed it would.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, you have really taken on some, which I think is incredible, some really real life, personal things that have gone on in your life and really been able to put it out there with the Real Mommy Confessions, with the film. How does that feel? I mean, as an actress, but then also as, you know, helping other people, I think it's just so amazing.
Thank you. That's really nice to hear. As an actress, it's awesome. As an actress, it's the best. I felt a little, not out of control, but like I didn't have much control over the roles that I was able to audition for. You know, I'm not a celebrity. I'm not somebody who is being, you know, called into big studios to read for the lead role yet, ever. Who knows? Who knows what life will bring? So meaty roles when you're not that person. You don't get to really show your chops. So I love that I've been able to create that for myself, that I've been able to say, hey, I'm funny, and here I am doing comedy, and hey, I can take on a meaty role and do it justice, so I'm in my own film. As an actress, it's been wonderful. It's been very fulfilling. As far as everything else, as far as, you know, being able to tell my story and have people relate to any of them in any way has been, it's just been really cool. It makes everything hurt less. It makes everything feel like there was a point to it all. I don't know. I feel stronger than I ever have before. I feel like there's not much that, everybody knows all my deepest, darkest secrets. They've seen Real Mommy Confessions. Like, anyone in my life has seen Real Mommy Confessions, so they know that, you know, I've tried to take sexy pictures for my husband and fallen off the bed doing it. They know that I've possibly eaten poop. I'm still not sure if it was poop. I think it was candy, but let's just, so, you know, just go with candy. They know that I went through this in my marriage and that I came out on the other end. And it's freeing, and it makes me feel strong. And I've said this a few times, I'm so lucky that I have people in my life who I can create this stuff with, and you know that they get me. It was so wonderful sharing the script with Jennifer Enscott, and she got it. She understood the characters. She understood why the story needed to be told. You know, it's rare to find people that really get you, and so mm-hmm. I've just felt so lucky over the last few years to be able to create. And my husband is so supportive. You know, I kicked him out of our house last weekend with our two children and our dog so that we could shoot Real Mommy Confessions in my house. So, you know, I'm at a point where I just feel really supported and lucky and strong. And, you know, I don't know how that happened, because if you had said this 3 years ago, I would have been like, that's not me. I'm a mess and I'm horrible and I'm failing at my life. But I'm feeling good. I feel lucky.
And I think it's really, you've shown the light at the end of the tunnel. I think it's so important. When people are walking around holding these secrets, holding these things that they don't want other people to know, it's kind of so damaging. It's so crippling that it becomes this heavy weight that you're carrying, that you're hoping no one will find out, or you don't want to admit to it. And I think being able to just to say, hey, this is what happened. The only thing I can do is move forward, heal, process it, be in the moment, and move forward. It's, you know, it happened. It's unfortunate, but I have to keep on going. And I think it's so powerful that you don't have to carry this on your own.
Yeah, it makes it bearable. Secrets kill you. I don't know. Secrets just, at least me, secrets destroy me. I couldn't live feeling like I was hiding half of myself all the time. So I decided to expose my entire life to everybody. But, you know, it's just where I'm comfortable. You know, someone else might need the secrets to feel comfortable. You never know. But I truly cannot go around hiding. I think I did that a lot growing up. You know, I was really insecure and didn't like how I looked and didn't like anything about myself. You know, I was a really insecure teenager. So I never wanted to be that again. I never wanted to hide. So not anymore.
That's very powerful. So do you have any other projects coming up that you're working on?
Well, once we get through the rest of the season for Real Mommy Confessions, we are shooting 22 episodes for this season. So we still have two more big shoots coming up, and then that'll give us enough episodes to get through June. And then Flush the John. I started talking to other people about some projects that they've had ideas for. I'm really excited to get behind the camera more. I'm really enjoying directing and producing. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just talking to people. I don't have anything specific that I'm working on other than those right now. Just trying to focus on making those the best they can be, and really, you know, for me, it's more about doing quality work than quantity. So focusing on these two, and then, I mean, then there's the rest of my life, my children and my businesses, and signing up for half marathons.
Yes, tell us. Yes, you also have two businesses. Tell us a little bit about those.
I have a mac and cheese restaurant called Brooklyn Mac. We do all different kinds of mac and cheese, and they're based on different neighborhoods in Brooklyn. And that was my husband's idea. Well, the Brooklyn part was my idea. The mac and cheese restaurant was his. So we have that. That's in Williamsburg on Montrose Avenue. So that's a lot of fun. And then we have a Cup Coffee Shop, which has two locations, one in Greenpoint and one in Williamsburg. And I love Cup. It's kind of my favorite. Cup really helped create a community for me when we opened up. We opened our first shop in Greenpoint, and I was working there when I was pregnant and spent a lot of time there when I got too big to be behind the counter. And yeah, they're a lot of fun, and I like being in business with my husband. He's incredibly smart, and I learn stuff from him all the time. So it's really fun getting to do that with him.
So when do you sleep?
I would be sleeping now. Actually, no, that's a lie. I'd be watching Making a Murderer because my husband and I have been binge-watching shows to catch up on things. You know, we sleep-ish. My poor hubby, he was always like the no, we're never co-sleeping kind of guy, and now we both just love having our kids in bed with us. So we have a big king-size bed, and by about 3 in the morning, everyone has crawled into our bed, so we all pile in together. I don't know. Sleep. We sleep. He's a firefighter. He gets less sleep than I do. He'll come back from a night tour where they've been at a fire and called to something, a gas leak or whatever, and been out all night. And then he comes home to two very excited toddlers to have their papa home. So, you know, we like it this way. I think we'd both go crazy if we didn't have much going on. So,
yeah. It sounds like you're both very passionate about what you do and really enjoy what you do.
I do, absolutely. And I know he does as well. Being a firefighter was the only thing in the world that he ever really wanted to be. He had done other jobs, but that was really his calling, and he's really good at it, and speaks very much to who he is as a person. He's a really good man, and I mean, I've always wanted to be an actress. I've always wanted to make film. There was never a choice. It was never something that there were other options. It's just what I knew I wanted to do and what I needed to do. So,
yes, it's part of
making it happen.
Yes. So before the end of the show, can you also just tell our listeners again how they can find Real Mommy Confessions and also Flush the John?
Sure. RealMommyConfessions.com is our website. Real Mommy Confessions, the series on Facebook. And again, that's probably the best way to get in touch with us if you want to submit anything, or, you know, we make memes out of confessions submitted by our fans and followers. RealMommyConfessions@gmail.com. And on Twitter, if that's your thing, is @RealMomsConfess. Flush the John, I just started a page for it. Like I said, we're not airing anything yet. So it's a smaller page right now, but it is under Flush the John, the film. And, yeah, you can find me, Bianca Jamat, on Facebook. And, you know, kind of we're all out there.
Wow. Again, I just wanted to thank you so much for being on my show this evening. You're such an incredible woman and very inspiring, and I'm really thank you for what you're doing. You've definitely have helped many find their voice or some comfort and some strength in their journeys.
Oh, thank you. That means everything to me. Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome. And again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in this evening. If you want to send any questions, you can send me an email at insightintohealing@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. Everyone, again, thank you so much for tuning in this evening. Have a good night, and God bless.